things, endures all things, hopes all things. Could have been a house of prayer this morning. Thank each and every one of you for visiting with us this morning. We want you to know you're most truly honored and welcome guests. And I asked Danny if he would lead that song because the message this morning is truly going to be challenging for us as Christians, you all. And we need to understand that God is love. God is love. This is the only way we can do these things that God is asking us to do. And you know, that's why we have to be a hard fighting soldier. You know what I'm saying? In the Lord. We just can't do this without God. And God calls us to that, and we must be that. And just one verse of the one hard fighting soldier to do that, because you know, the first one says, I'm gonna trade my earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left prepare a mansion for his children in the air. In that land where his sorrows can be found. When I receive a mansion rope and crown. Lord, I want a Lord, I want a brand new mansion robing a crown in glory. There I know that peace and love will always abide forever. Let me be among the saved to your throne surround. Lord, please reserve a mansion robe. You know what? The weather there is always fair. There's sunshine day and night. No rain will fall, it'll fall there, for the sunshine's ever bright. I'll need no heavy garments, I'll just wrap my robe around. When I receive a mansion robe and crown. Lord, I want a Lord, I want a brand new mansion robing a crown in glory. There I know that peace and love will always abound forever. Let me be among the saved to your throne surround. When robe and crown. My head is bowed and bloody now from the work that I've tried to do. But one day I'll be rewarded with the crown so bright and new. I'll wear a smile so bright for there'll be no cause for a frown. When I receive a mansion robe and crown. Lord, I want a Lord, I want a brand new mansion robing a crown in glory. There I know that peace and love will always abound forever. Let me be among the saved to your throne surround. Lord, please reserve a mansion. Lord, please reserve a mansion. Lord, please reserve a mansion. God is love. God is love. Please reserve a mansion, robe, and crown, Lord. You know, this morning I want to talk about a passage. Be opening your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. And you know, the reason we sing these praises to God and offer God, lift up our voices to him, is because we know how awesome he is and how good he is. But I believe, church, I believe in preaching and proclaiming the Word of God. The Word of God has to challenge us. Has to challenge us to be better as Christian men and women, because that's the only way that this dark world is going to see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. It's got to be you all, because we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So that means, brethren, that we can't walk in a way of complacency. We can't just be this, just like everybody else. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And Matthew chapter 5, first of all, do this. Brother Paul, as you prepare for the Connect group outline, I want to give you a definition of enemy, okay? Before we talk about, and my sermon topic is simply that, how to look like Jesus in the face of our enemies. And brother, I'm telling you all right now this morning that I know everyone, we come in and sometimes we think about, well, that message is not for me, that's for my neighbor. No, this is for all of us. And I promise you, if you are honest to yourself, you're going to look at yourself and you're going to say, Jesus Christ, increase my faith. Amen. Enemy. The definition of enemy means a person who is actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. A person who is actively opposed to opposed or hostile towards someone or something. Now, let me give you the synonym of enemy, because some of you will sit in there, and I know you will. We've been there. And you'll say, well, I don't have any enemies. Well, let me give you some synonyms to enemy. It is a foe. You may have a foe. It is an adversary. It is an opponent. It is a rival. It is a nemesis, and an antagonist, or a combatant, or a challenger, or a competitor. It is somebody that goes against your grain, that you do not feel comfortable with, or feel like this person is not conducive to my joy or my peace. Huh? Yeah. Do I have everybody there now? Huh? Bill collector. Now they said bill collector. They can be your enemy too when you don't pay your bill. So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, speaking to followers, his disciples, also on the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, beginning in verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus says, this is what you heard. This is what the religious leaders are teaching you. But he says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The sermon, brethren, on the Mount can be summed up in one word: love. Love. Jesus says we should love God, love our neighbors, love ourselves, and also love our enemies. Jesus says you have to love your foe. You've got to love your adversary and love your opponent and love your rival and love your nemesis, love your competitor, love your antagonistic, love your ex-wife, love your ex-husband, love your friend who talked about you, love the man who came to collect your bill, love the one who repossessed your car, Love the one. Come on, can I get, when I get on your street, say amen. Amen. Love them. Love your employer that does not treat you right. Love them. Love your friends. Kids that talk about you, your friends you thought were your friends. Love them, Jesus says. The ideal church of loving our enemies was not a radical new command from Jesus. We think this is something new. But you realize this was part of the Levitical code. Because we find in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, where God said, way back in Leviticus, God said, do not take revenge on others or continue to hate them, but love your neighbors as you love yourself, for I am the Lord. Leviticus, brethren, chapter 19, and also a feature of that Old Testament wisdom, we find what Solomon writes in Proverbs 25, in verse 21 and 22, where Solomon says, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them a drink. You will make them burn with shame. Watch this, and the Lord will reward you. Jesus, increase my faith. If your enemy is hungry, Daddy-O, feed him. What you gonna do? If your enemy is thirsty, Gay, give him something to drink. What you gonna do? This is your foe. This is your adversary. This is somebody who did not treat your kids right. What we gonna do? Huh? See, brethren, the religious leaders were teaching their disciples to love friends but hate enemies. And so Jesus, again, confronts this hypocrisy. Now watch this. The religious leaders, brethren, were changing the law to suit themselves because the Old Testament never says hate your enemies. So Jesus is unmerciful in contrasting the truth of God against the false religion of the prophecies. Jesus, brethren, absolutely relentless in pushing the standard of the law to a much higher level. In truth, the level that which was always been in the kingdom of heaven. And in this case, he speaks about the law of love, insisting it must be a love that is extraordinary. It must be a love that is just simply remarkable, brethren. So what Jesus does is he calls us to this sacrificial love where we love our enemies in exactly the same way we love our friends. Anybody feeling like I'm feeling? Really, Jesus? Brother, our enemies are those who are unresponsive to our love. Our enemies are those who forgive us nothing when we forgive them all, church. There are those who respond to our love with hatred. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Do you have any of those kinds of people in your life? Besides Natalie and Carlos and I? No, I mean, I'm serious. This is what we do, brethren. We don't think about this stuff, church. I'm sure you have one or two people, and you may not even know. You may not even it may not be obvious to you who these people are. It may be somebody, church, that you don't even like to be around because you feel like Jesus, I know I'm supposed to love them, but I sure don't like them. Y'all got any new people? Yeah, you don't like them. You don't like them. And brethren, our enemies may reject our love, church, and they may discount our love and react angrily to our love. And they may never understand, church, our love or even be changed through our love. Yet Jesus
cause us to love them without any guarantees. And in doing this, he's calling us to become more like him. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Church, this is the kind of love that asks for nothing in return, yet seek those who need it. That's what he's telling us. Seek those who need this kind of love that you're not seeking any return from, church. And who needs our love more than those who are consumed with hatred and are truly devoid of love? Jesus says, who deserves our love more than our enemy? Huh? Jesus says, where is love more glorified than where it dwells in the midst of our enemies? Anybody got any neighbors that you don't like? No, I'm not talking about the ones sitting next to you. But they can be your enemies too. Y'all see what I'm saying? God doesn't give his love, church, because of something that we've done. He doesn't give his love because of something he may gain from it. He doesn't give, church, his love because we deserve it. He just gives his love. Why, preacher? Because God's very nature is love. God is love, he says, the Bible says in 1 John 4 and 16. It's a love beyond human understanding, brethren. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, and we can understand someone dying for someone good and noble and can inspire that selfless sacrifice. But the Apostle Paul said in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while you were so good, where you did everything right, God demonstrated his love toward us because you treated your wife right, because you treated your husband right, because you obeyed your parents. He demonstrated his love, brethren, for us while we were still sinners. Huh? Christ died for us. Y'all get it? I'm gonna see. It gets more challenging. In church, we're only able to love enemies because God's love flows through us, brethren. And this is what makes our love so extraordinary. It does. It's a love that shows we're living in the kingdom of heaven and trusting that even the worst of our enemies is not beyond the power of God to change their lives. Even the worst, brethren. So Jesus calls us to love that makes no distinction between the enemy or any other person, and no distinction between a private enemy or a public one. That is, brethren, that someone who personally knows us, or that someone who perhaps is in public office whose policies are designed to harm us, or we don't like their policies. And regardless, brethren, we are to offer unqualified love to our enemies, brethren. We're called to bless them and do good to them and pray for them. We're called to love Democrats and Republicans and independents and everybody else. Huh? Line up. We're going to have an invitation call. Y'all see what I'm talking about? Y'all see the challenge, brother? See, we can come in here and talk, oh, how I love Jesus. And you sitting in there hating somebody because they don't look like you. Because they don't think like you. Because they don't dress like you. Because they don't ball like you, Tyler. Ha! I saw you. I see you over there, bruh. Yeah, praise God. I'm glad you're here, Tyler. Yeah, Back in the day, Tyler, I remember we were out in the gym. I still got game like that, dog, just telling you now. That's my boy. That's my boy. Hey, y'all see what I'm talking about? Love your enemies. So Jesus, watch this. Jesus commands us to an active love of our enemies. Now, brethren, this is where it really gets challenging. Our love is more than just this passive bearing of persecution and hatred. But we must engage in loving our enemies. How do I do that, preacher? Well, Jesus says, by blessing them and doing good for them and praying for them, regardless of who they are or what they have done. Church, this is not to condone evil. Don't get me wrong. It's not to condone evil. This kind of love proceeds from the strength rather than weakness. Therefore, it can't be guilty of hatred of another. You see what I'm saying? I can't love somebody, brethren, that I don't agree with or like if I'm not coming from a space where Jesus got my back. So it's a fearless love, where we recognize God loved us even when we were his enemies. And now, by his love, church, within us, we can love our enemies with the same love aimed at redemption. Think about that, brethren. If we love folk because I want them to see Jesus, I want them to come to Jesus, it makes a difference. But do you see how this is related to our faith? When we know and we obediently trust that God is determined to love the sin and the fallenness out of us, we then act upon our faith, brethren, determining to love the sin and the fallenness out of our enemies. And we start allowing the love of Christ to flow through us, driving away, brethren, that cycle of fear that keeps us locked in hostility with our enemies. Because we are fearful, brethren, is why we can't love our enemies. I don't want to get close to you. And when I don't get close to you, I don't know you. And if I don't know you, I can hate you. Don't y'all know that's where discrimination comes from? It's because we don't know one another. We don't know one another. And so in this way, church, we're conformed to the image of Christ instead of the image of our enemies. Do good to those who hate you, Jesus says. Do good to those that hate you. We're to love in deed, brethren, as well as in word. So Jesus calls us to this active love. The Apostle Paul says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head, according to Romans 12:20. So doing this is, listen, doing this, brethren, is humanly impossible. Right? But it brings you daily, brethren, to the door of dependence upon Jesus. Because I can't do it in my flesh. The spirit is willing. Flesh is weak. Spirit says, Donald, you know this is your enemy. Do good. They need some help. Help them. Flesh is saying, huh, I remember what they done. I know what they said. And the spirit says, you love them, boy. Love them. Help them. I got to hold on to the hand of Jesus, brethren, to help me, brethren. Y'all see this stuff, brother? See, where you must draw upon your strength to love those who hate you is in Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Paul said, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So it requires faith, brethren, to do the good works that Jesus requires of us as we face our enemies, where we enter into their lives, brethren, by showing them this uncommon compassion, Jesus. Who want to sign up? Oh, you're already signed up. You're Christians. Y'all get it? He says, pray for those who persecute you. Brethren, when our enemies insult us, it only draws us closer to God and them closer to reconciliation. But this requires us to obediently, brethren, trust that Jesus is working through us and requires that we abandon ourselves to his will. And we allow him, church, to make us an instrument of reconciliation, even if it causes pain or hardship. God, I want to be your instrument. I pray all the time, Lord, help me to be a vessel of honor. Help me to be a vessel of honor. And the Lord, he puts in front of me something or somebody that I had to say, okay, you want to be a vessel of honor? Here you go. Let's see what you look like. Y'all see it, brethren? See, our enemies, church, are the object of God's love in the same way that we are. We can't be disciples of Jesus and continue to live in love at the world's level. Hello? We can't do it, brethren. You know what the world does? The world loves like they want to love. If they don't like what's going down, they don't love it. They don't love you. And we get in that same boat, brethren. We get in that same boat, but we call ourselves Christians and God's children, and we don't think about that stuff, and we think we're pleasing God. So we're called to this extraordinary life, and that includes expressing, brethren, an extraordinary love. And the deeper, church, we forge into that holy struggle, because it's a struggle, isn't it? It's a holy struggle, brother. And we're not sitting up here and saying, Jesus is not telling these folk this stuff is easy. He says, that's why you need me. This is a holy struggle. And the more we realize, church, how crucial it is to love our enemies and give up on seeking our own revenge, brethren, the person who wants to follow Christ in discipleship must cling to the Lord and prepare for this battle. Y'all heard that old adage, you gonna talk the talk? Walk the walk. Otherwise, shut up. I'm telling you, don't be talking about how you love Jesus and I go to church. Shut up if you're not willing to go into battle, brethren. This is what Jesus is telling us, church. He's telling us that. And this is what we need to understand. So anyone who pays any attention to the news cannot help but realize we are in an age and spreading and intensifying persecution of those who value Christ above all else. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, if you love you some Jesus, you better be ready to be persecuted. Y'all see it? But you can't be walking around and think every day is going to be a sunshiny day because you love Jesus. No, we're going to see how much you love Jesus. The world's going to see how much you love Jesus. How are you going to respond? So we can no longer, brethren, love according to the world's definition of love. We have to let God define our love. And we've got to give love to anyone and everyone unconditionally. We have to love others because they need it just like we need it. Brethren, they need it. And God can redeem my enemies, brethren, the same way he redeemed me. He can do it. He will do it. So here's the million dollar question. Will you obediently trust Jesus and love your enemy in the same way that you love your brothers and sisters? No, will you do that? Will you obediently trust Jesus? See, brother, this stuff's got to be intentional. It can't be because everybody's treating you right. Because everybody's not going to treat you right. And this is something our young people need to learn early in life. Life doesn't owe you anything. I'm going to tell you what you're going to get when you get out there in life. You can get some hardships and a boot up your behind. Huh? Huh? Come on. Am I right about it? And that person who put the boot up your behind, you better love them. You better pray for them. Jesus, you mean I've got to love my ex-wife? Yes. You mean I've got to love my ex-husband? Yes. You mean, Jesus, I need to love my obnoxious neighbor? Yes. You mean, Jesus, that when I mow my lawn and I just mow my side of the lawn where I could go over 3 feet and get some of his or hers and make it look better, but I'm just going to stay on my side because they didn't mow my side last time? Yes. Jesus says, do you remember? You used to be one of them. That now you categorize as your enemy. How you feel about yourself now? I'm going to close with this passage. Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus that also applies to us today. Paul's writing to Christians. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verses 1, I'm going to read through to verse 9. Paul says, in you. Who's the you? Christians. You Christians at this time, in this context, is writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, you Ephesian Christians. You. Let me bring it home. You. Poto Church of Christ. The one with that fish symbol on the back of your van. So I want to get that in the parking lot. In you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Get that, church. You were made alive, but you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Has anybody ever been there? Has anybody ever walked to the course of this world? Oh, I know you look holy now. I know you all look good now. But has anybody ever been out there in that world? You walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted our lives. See, for anybody who said to them, well, I didn't do that. Jesus says through the Apostle Paul, you're lying. Because watch what he says. Among whom also we all, not y'all, all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, glory, hallelujah. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm going to challenge you, because you're going to go out this week, I promise you, this week, and someone's going to knock your vase over. And what's going to spew out? It may be on your job. It may be in your home. It may even be in the church. It may be on Highway 112 going to Fort Smith. Y'all feel me? You're going to get an opportunity to love your enemies and do good to those who persecute you. Pray for those who you just got this thing against. You don't like it. It's a holy struggle, brethren. You don't like it. Don't y'all know something? We're all in this together, because I got some folk, brethren, in my life Jesus help me. Jesus help me. Because when I even see them, listen to me, I don't even have to see them. I see something on Facebook with their name on it. Y'all, can I talk? Huh? I'm serious. And there's something just in me, and I think about it. Lord, help me to love it. You know what I started? You know what I've started doing? When I was studying this and preparing this, brother, God was just working with me, Kathleen. He was working with me. And I've started now praying for those who persecute me. I start praying for those who despitefully use me. I start praying for my enemies. I used not do that. Because maybe I read something about them that didn't go well for them, and I'm like, Y'all see this, church? And the stuff that's going on in the world today, brethren, I'm telling us now, we better get our act together. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We are different people. We have an extraordinary love, a remarkable love. Okay. Y'all got it? Pray about it. Work on it. You're going to need it. Young folk, you're going to need it. Learn this early. Parents, teach it to your children. Grandparents, teach it to your grandchildren. Teach it in home. Teach it at church. Talk about this in your connect group. Talk about it. Confess it. Let's pray for one another. Holy Church of Christ, let's be a church that not only love Jesus, we love our enemies too. Because everybody does not want this church to be blessed. But let's love them too. If you're here this morning, we can help you in your life. You're not a child of God. God wants you. He desires for you to come to him before it's eternally too late. That's his love. That's his mercy. That's his grace. Even while you're dead in your sins and trespasses, he wants you to come to him.